Praise God. You know, there's no way the Susie and I could go on a trip like we just went on. I mean, 3 weeks away is the longest we've been away from the church in 17 years. And I want you to know this wasn't a trip that was paid for by the church. It was paid for by Susie and I. So we covered that. And well, you wonder, well, Pastor, you're paid a salary. Well, I've never used all my vacation in the 17 years. Never one time in any year. So I think we had a little bit of extra time there. But anyway, we couldn't go away on a trip like that without folks like you and without the folks that we have here and the leadership here. And when we were talking with the leadership team about leaving, we weren't saying, you know, let's just maintain. Let's just try to get by while we're gone. No, we had a mandate that we're going to grow and we're going to flourish and we're going to go forward. And we started talking about back to church. And so good things happened while we were away, but I know good things happened here. Heard some of the testimonies. But God is doing amazing things. And I want you to know, God is doing amazing things throughout the earth. And so Nate started the series at the beginning of this month about back to church. He had two awesome messages. The first week, he showed the importance of church in our lives, talked about applying the word, believing the impossible, and changing the world. Remember that? And then last week, he continued on with changing the world when he challenged us to go back to our callings. So how many people here know today you're called? We all have a calling, and it's a precious thing. And each of us should realize that and grow in that and develop that calling that he has for us. Now imagine this. Imagine if we had 400 people here at Good News Church, 400 people that call Good News Church their home. Imagine if we had 400 people walking in their calling. Do you think that would make a difference in the Augusta area? Would we make a difference in this area for Jesus Christ? Now let me ask you this. What would happen if we had 400 committed people that were committed to their calling? What happens if we had 400 people that were not only committed to their calling, but were committed to helping their neighbor fulfill their calling? Would it even intensify the impact and the difference that we could make for Jesus Christ? What happens if we had a church that was not only committed, so we have these 400 people that are committed to their calling, who are committed to others fulfilling their calling, and what happens if we had a church that was committed to being a part of the body of Christ and helping other ministries fulfill their calling? What could happen? Amen? So God's got a big plan. And so what we're doing is we're doing our part in the body of Christ. We're doing our part in the body of Christ to build up the body of Christ. We're doing our part to add to the body of Christ. That we're a part of something much bigger than just ourselves. Now, Good News Church is not a building. Everybody knows that, right? A church is not a building. And we, you know, so many times in our mind, we put that together. Well, that's so-and-so church, and they're at that building. But church is people. Church is a group of believers called together to do something great for God. And it's greater than any individual. It's a group. And I really had to watch myself because when we were in Australia and Fiji and when we were ministering, I just couldn't help myself but talk about Good News Church. I couldn't help myself and talk and I couldn't stop talking about the people of Good News Church. That when we went to Fiji and Australia, we didn't represent Matt and Susie Judd Ministries. We represented you. We represented Good News Church. And when we told our story, it was your story, mingled with it our story. And it's really difficult to know the difference because we are so connected, because we are a body. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We talk today about our callings, but talking about our callings coming together. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Now, I've been reading, and you know this, I've been reading a lot about the early church. I've been reading the book of Acts over and over for the last four summers. I don't know how many times I've read through it. And the book of Acts is our standard. But the Lord wants us in the body of Christ today to go above the standard. So what we're reading about is our future, if we're not there already. But then also, the Lord says, you know, the latter house will be greater than the former. So by the Spirit of God, I've been just reading about us and reading about where we're going. And then not only that, but I'm expecting us to go beyond the early church, because doesn't that make sense? That's God's plan. So let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Now the church is not a building. It's not a place even. The church is people. It's the body of Christ. Added to the church daily those being saved. Now I've talked about this when we've been talking about one, and we started that earlier in the year, about being in one accord, one heart, one soul, one church. And I talked about this one Sunday about this word fellowship that's found in here. Everybody say fellowship. And I think this is a key word for us at Good News Church, but it's also a key word for the body of Christ. Now fellowship means more than going out to church, after church today with some people and eating some fried chicken. Now that sounds good. I'm planting some seeds. Fried chicken, fried okra, mashed potatoes, green beans, some nice rolls, some sweet tea, key lime pie, maybe, pecan pie. And then just talking about the news, the sports, and the weather. It's that fellowship. Well, we can go out and get something to eat. We can go to Starbucks or someplace to get some coffee. And it may or may not be fellowship. This word fellowship in the Greek, it's the word koinonia. This word means to share. It means to have unity, a close association, a partnership, a communion, contributory help, a brotherhood. It's where individuals come together as one for a common cause greater than themselves. And that's what church is supposed to be. Church is supposed to be fellowship. That we're coming together. Yeah, we know each other. We know each other's names. And we know our story. And we know about each other. And we know personal details. But there's a higher purpose for us coming together. There's a bigger reason. And it's the cause. It's the cause that we have in common. It's the cause that we share. And so this word, koinonia, is sharing in a lot of different ways. Sharing of ourselves. So that involves talking. It involves listening. It involves sharing our testimony, sharing our story, getting to know each other. It involves sharing in the care for each other. Just like in my house, you know, I care for Susie, she cares for me. We care for our kids, and we care for Nan, yeah, for Martha. And she cares for us. We care for each other. But it's the same way here at Good News Church, is we share in the responsibility for each other, in the care of each other. But then we share our resources. We couldn't have this building and have all the things that we have here at Good News Church without people sharing gifts, time, and treasure. We share those things. And I tell you what, I don't know of another church that is as generous as Good News Church. We have some generous people here. Why? Because we're believers. Because we follow the Word of God. We follow the Spirit of God. But we share of ourselves. But then also we share in our responsibility for lost and hurting people. We're not a country club church where we're just here just to satisfy the members. We're a church that we have open arms. We have a church that we want to welcome others, whatever race, whatever color, whatever background. We don't care who you are. We have open arms, and we want you, if this is where the Lord has you, to be a part of this body. And we want to reach lost people. We want to see people saved. We want to see people born again. We want to see people set free. Are you here today? But then also we want to share in the responsibility of people growing in their faith. The Great Commission has two parts. It has preaching the gospel so that all shall be saved. But then it has that next part about discipleship. And it's not just my job or Susie's job or Nate's job or Christian's job to make disciples. We're all working together to make disciples. So that means there's a lot of mentoring and coaching and hand-holding and encouraging and things that go on in this body as we help each other grow. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. So they're sharing. So the church, Good News Church, which is a part of the body of Christ, should be a place of generous sharing as opposed to selfishness. Now said, the word selfish means lacking consideration for others, concerned chiefly with one's own personal profit, advantage, or pleasure. We've seen that in the body of Christ. Maybe some selfishness lurking around a Good News Church. I hope not. Let's drive it out if it's here. But 17 years ago, is it okay if I come off the platform? Come down here. 17 years ago when we started Good News Church, can you believe it's been 17 years? My, how time flies when you're having fun. But the Lord said to us, I want you to throw out all your ideas about church and follow me. And I wish that initially, and we attempted to do that, but I wish that we would have done a better job early on. Susie and I attended 16 of Brother Hagin's Holy Ghost meetings. Some of you here don't even know who Brother Hagin is, but one of our mentors. He's now in heaven. Learned a lot from his ministry and teaching. But we went to these Holy Ghost meetings all over the nation. And it was just awesome, the things that we learned. We, you know, took a week at a time and went there and heard the word. And it was just like, I just felt like it was just pastoral training. The mornings talking about prayer and ministry and so many things we learned. And we were able to meet so many different ministers all over the country. And we met some ministers that we admired. Do you have some ministers besides Susie? Not now. Do you have some ministers that you admire? And it's one thing to maybe read their books or to hear them preach or to see them on TV, but then to associate them with them and get to know them and have a meal with them is something special. It's awesome. And so we had that opportunity, and we just meet these. And you get to know folks when you're in all these meetings together and should have meals together. Well, one particular minister took an interest in Susie and I, and he was an older, seasoned minister, and he was just like, okay, ask me questions. And it was just neat. I mean, I think for males especially, we like to have a father figure or those people in our lives that we can talk to and learn from. And so this minister really took interest in us and had a lot of respect and admiration for him. And so he began to start giving us advice. He actually ministered at our church. And here's some of the advice that he gave us. First thing he said to us is we needed to sit on the platform. We needed to sit on the platform to show the congregation that we were the ones in authority. Which is so funny because the platform at that time was, just this little square. And so we had these big chairs on this little platform. Every Sunday I was about to fall off the platform. We had to build a bigger platform just to hold the chairs. Second thing he told us is, he said only the pastor or guest ministers can stand behind the pulpit. It's like the pulpit was this holy, anointed, special thing, and only certain people of certain caliber could stand behind the most holy pulpit. Third thing he talked to me especially was about Susie's role. And he said that Susie should be the first lady of the ministry, and that she should be not be doing so much in the ministry. I should be doing more, and she should be doing less. And she should just kind of live this pampered first lady type lifestyle. Now, how many know Susie? So in essence, he was saying that Susie was to sit down and shut up. That's what he said, not me. Fourth thing he said, we can no longer socialize with the congregation. They had to call us pastor. And if they didn't call us pastor, they were in rebellion. And that's why when you get a letter from me today, it's signed Matt. Because I'm just on purpose. I'm rebelling, yeah. Rebelling against myself. The next thing is, I was to dress better than anyone else in the congregation. Because we're to go to this, how can I take people to a place I'm not, haven't been? So I had to dress better, drive better, all these different things, so to help the congregation and lead them. And it's so funny because now, you know, we've gone to casual dress at the church. I now have all these expensive suits sitting in my closet. And I went to the point where I even had handmade suits made by Brother Hagen's tailor. And if you'd have known Brother Hagen, whenever you saw Brother Hagen, he had these, when he ministered, he had handmade suits. His pants went up to his belly button. I don't know if you knew him. Just above, it was like me wearing pants and be up here. Well, this tailor, I guess that's just the way he made them, because when he made mine, mine came up to about right here. $1,000 suits. They came up to here. I looked like a big clown. And get this, the suits couldn't be dry cleaned or ironed. They were so expensive, I had to ship them back to him to iron them. Who is the idiot? And this last one, I think, was really the worst. He said the church members were there to make me look good. Now, this particular minister, if I saw him on the street, I wouldn't punch him. And I'm not even mad at him. He was just a part of a system. And so he thought he was helping me. He wanted to help me. And I was looking for help. Young in ministry. But unfortunately, his advice cost me about 5 years of ministry. And, you know, had I continued in that route, I think it would have cost, I probably wouldn't be in ministry today. Probably wouldn't be married today. But the big change came after about 5 years. We're having a meeting at our house. And we were sitting in our dining room. There was like 12 leaders there, having the Last Supper, I guess, something like that. There was 12 of us there. And there was someone that was going through a serious trial, a member of the church. And I was just basically saying, you know, kind of upset that this person wasn't serving. They're going through a serious trial. And I was upset that they weren't serving somewhere on Team Good News. And one of the leaders just stood up and said, you know, Pastor, I think it's okay that, you know, that someone, you know, we can allow for someone going through what they're going through not to have to serve. Well, you know how I reacted? I got mad. You ever got mad? I got mad and I stormed out of the room. And at that time, my office was upstairs. I went up to my office and I just sat in my office mad. I didn't even say good night to everybody. And I was just like so mad. Who does this person think they are? Standing up to the pastor. Do you know who I am? But after 2 days of just sulking and being mad, I finally started to open up and start listening to the Holy Spirit. How many like to do that? And he basically was saying, he didn't use the word hell, but he said, what are you doing? What in the hell are you doing? He didn't say that, but that's how I heard it. And I just started looking at myself in the mirror of what I had become. And it wasn't that I didn't love the people of Good News Church. It wasn't that. I did love, but I had just gotten off track because of a system, a ministry. And so we began to go through a season of change, and we started reading a book by Philip Yancey, What's So Amazing About Grace, and just some other things, and started hearing some from some people maybe outside of our camp. And some change began to happen. And so really, I took, at that time, when this happened, it was 5 years into the church, and we, I don't know, we maybe 100 people, 150, I don't know what our number was. We had 30 departments. Remember this, Carol? 30 departments. Guidelines, procedures, manuals. We were organized. Everything was organized. The move of the Spirit was organized. Everything was organized. And so I just had to take a step back and say, what am I doing? What am I becoming? I don't like what I'm becoming. And really took 2 years off from any organization. Just said, forget it. I don't even care about any of that. How many know you can get in ditches? So you can get a ditch over here on organizing. Then I got in the ditch over here on having no organization. But I just was so frustrated with that and what I had become, I just had to take a break. Now hopefully we're back here in the middle somewhere. I pray that we are. And so we've come through, you know, and I'd gotten hard, I'd gotten legalistic. And really, you know, when I came out, got saved, I had fallen out, I'd come out of bondage. Really, I had gotten back into bondage. The only problem now is now I'm leading people. So we've been on a journey these last 10, 11 years here at Good News Church. And to come out of that, and I believe that we're a much healthier ministry because we've come out of that. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter 5. We may go a few minutes over today, so if you've got to hit the road, you can do that. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, amplified. And this helps me right here. This is where I want to be, right here in these verses. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. I warn and counsel the elders among you, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory, the honor and splendor that is to be revealed, disclosed, unfolded. Tend, nurture, guard, guide, and fold the flock of God that is in your responsibility. Not by coercion or constraint, but willingly. That's the way I desire for today, is people. They give, they tithe, they serve, they share, they do things willingly. Not by manipulation. Not maybe made feel condemned or made to feel bad because they feel led, they see it in the Word, led by the Spirit of God, and they do it because of their heart. Willing, not dishonorably, motivated by the advantage and profits belonging to the office. But eagerly and cheerfully, not domineering as arrogant, dictatorial, and overbearing persons over those in your charge, but being examples. Is that we preach what we live and live what we preach. To be an example. Not perfect. Y'all know I'm not perfect. But to live it before you. In our home, in our marriage, with our kids. The way we conduct ourselves. Patterns and models of Christian living to the flock, the congregation. And then when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will win the conqueror's crown of glory. So a different style of ministry, different style of leadership. And so when I began to let control, and it's interesting that my job at International Paper, my last job, was controller. I had to let go of control of things. Let other giftings come forth. Be open, more open to other people's ideas. I didn't have to have all the ideas. And when this began to happen, I began to set free. Not immediately, and I'm still in a growing process, but I'm certainly freer than I was 11 years ago. Freer than I was last year. It's a process of growth. I began to enjoy ministry. To be cheerful about ministry. Enjoy our congregation. I'm not saying there's not times I'm not frustrated, but how many know I certainly don't get as mad as I used to? When's the last time I pounded on the pulpit? Haven't done it this year. I'm going to try to make it by the end of the year. Enjoy our congregation. And then the Lord began to give us a vision of what we were supposed to be doing. And that's why we really begin to talk about the believer's ministry. And opening the door for that. And working together. Turn over to Ephesians 4. I'm going somewhere today. Okay? I don't know if you're still with me. You're going home. Ephesians 4. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And I love this. I got this from Jim and Jan Newton, and I'm going to give them credit one more time. And this will be it, because then it'll be my rev. No. But they've been saying the sixfold ministry. I like that. Yeah. The sixfold ministry. Let's just go ahead and change our terminology. The believer's ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The six. Everybody say sixfold ministry.
Sixfold ministry.
And that puts every one of us in the ministry. Believer's ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. And we all have to understand our calling. We all need to understand our ministry. All need to understand our part. And we need to understand our purpose. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Are we there yet? So we still need this. Unity of faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. You see, he wants us to grow up, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, everybody say body. Joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, look at yourself and point at yourself and say, I have a part. Now turn to your neighbor and say, you have a part. And now turn to your other neighbor and say, you have a very important part. Every part does its share. Share. Fellowship. We've got to partner in the cause. Everybody's got a part. We've got to know our part. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I like what the New Living Translation says in verse 16. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. Helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy. I like that. Healthy. How many like to be in a healthy church? And growing and full of love. So the big thing the Lord is talking to us about, and you know, we're now involved in the leadership at AFCM, and we shared this when we were in Australia and in Fiji. We've been talking a lot about working together. And it's a word you may have heard before, maybe not even in favorable terms, but it's the word collaboration. Collaboration means this. Collaboration is working together. And get ready, Susie. Get your team ready. Collaboration is working together to achieve a goal. It is a process where two or more people or organizations work together to realize shared goals. This is more than just intersection of common goals seen in cooperative ventures, but a deep collective determination to reach an identical objective. For example, an intriguing endeavor that is creative in nature by sharing knowledge, learning, and building consensus. The believer's ministry and the fivefold ministry working together, collaborating. We've collaborated with Jeremy Gall Ministries, so much so he came and did a school in our church. We've collaborated with Jim and Jan Newton with the I Give Life course, and now they're taking that course over to the other side of the world. Collaborating here, you know, so many different ways. And so it's a working together, and we've got to see more of this. And with AFCM, we're going to be launching some things in October at our annual meeting there. But that's one of the themes. One of the values of AFCM is now going to be collaboration. It's been so many individuals kind of doing their own thing. But we become so much powerful, definitely when we walk in our calling, but when we work together on things, we're going to see a lot more fruit. Now, Susie, we got a little illustration. I want you to demonstrate that for us today.
I'll need some volunteers, actually. I'll just ask you. How about Tammy Tinker and Eric Metzler? And how about Michelle? You up for it? And I need five. Let me see who else I'll get here. Yeah, you can come up. I had a volunteer. And I need one more. This is good. So we'll get a guy. Ryan Waggy. Rick, can you give them all a ball? He's going to give you a ball, and I want you to sprint out. And Eric, I want you to go up by the drums there. And Tammy, why don't you go up by the guitar there? And Ryan, why don't you go over here by Gary? And Kaylee, you can come. You can stand right here in the middle. And there you go, Michelle. You got your spot. Now, these balls represent the kingdom of God's productivity. Because the body of Christ should be growing. The kingdom of God should be growing. You know, they started with 120 that came out of that upper room. And in a few days, they'd gone from 3,000 to 120 to 8,120. And then they just kept multiplying. And it's God's plan that all would be saved, that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that true? And it's God's not willing for any to perish. So God's plan right now, what he's doing on planet Earth, is he's getting people saved and he's bringing them to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what these balls represent. They represent people being saved and people being discipled. All right? And who are these people holding the balls? Well, these are the saints that are doing the work of the ministry, because that's what ministry is. It's getting people saved and getting people discipled. So that's what they're representing. Now, it can be difficult. I mean, look at Tammy. She's kind of isolated off over there by herself. But she's got a job to do. She's got a part to play. Some of y'all probably feel like that maybe in your jobs and in your life. You're kind of on your own. Maybe you're sort of in a She's kind of almost in a little dark hole over there. Maybe you feel like you're in a dark place, but you're there and you're doing kingdom work, right? All right, now what we're going to do is we're going to start passing these balls around. So don't throw it to somebody that's not looking, but let's just see if we can pass these one to another because we want to get them moving here. Let's go. We'll go like this. Go this way. All right, go ahead. Let's get going. Just move. Throw the balls. Here we go. There you go. Eric. Don't throw the ball to the people that aren't looking now. Now you're throwing them. Just doing them in a circle, buddies. It's not easy. This is pretty much how ministry is. It's kind of how it is. That's okay. Sometimes you drop the ball, but you get it back. All right. All right. See, I mean, every time it moves, something good's happening. People are getting saved. Somebody coming to that was a hard one getting saved. There you go. Y'all are about to get it. There you go. Look at y'all. Yeah, you're getting it clogged up over here. Y'all see this? But this is how kingdom business happens. There you go. Yeah. Now, Ryan, why don't you come over here by Kaylee because she's having more trouble catching and throwing. Come on over here. All right. You see somebody struggling a little bit, and so, but they have people that can help. All right, go ahead. Now, y'all just work together. See, that's what we do when we partner together. Sometimes the Bible says that when we have trouble, look at there. Look how much better that's working when they're working together. Y'all see that? Just y'all ruining my thing here. But that's what we do when we partner with others and we start working together. Look at that. Do y'all hear what Michelle's doing? She's communicating. That's one of the meanings of that word fellowship is communication. That we actually talk to each other while we're doing our work. That we work together. Look at Eric. He's got like a finely tuned system going up here. Y'all see that? You see how they're working? Isn't this going a lot better over here, Rick? You've been sitting there. Isn't that going better since they've been working? Just, Kaylee, every time I start making a point about you, you drop the ball. That's okay. Here you go. Here we go. We're moving along. There we go. Y'all see that? Now. Okay, here we're going. All right, now, Eric, get rid of those balls. Go ahead and get rid of that. Eric, I don't want you to catch any more balls. But Tammy, keep throwing them to him. All right, now stop a second. We'll go ahead and throw it again. Go ahead. Now, let me ask y'all a question. Have any of y'all ever tried? I mean, is this explained? Nate, can you relate to this? Terry, you ever thrown a ball to somebody and they won't catch it? How frustrating is that? So what do you tend to do when they do that?
Throw it harder.
Throw it harder. No. You know what you do? Just what just happened here. Somebody else has to get the ball. Y'all, turn around, Michelle. Michelle's got three balls. Should Michelle have to have three balls? Because there's five people up here. Everybody should just have their own share, their own part, right? But she has three. You have two. He's helping Kaylee. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to double up and help somebody. Tammy's just waiting. She's open. Throw her ball. All right. They're doing their part. Look at Eric. He's just standing there doing nothing. What are you doing, Eric? You're closed off. But see, now here's the tough thing. All right. Go ahead and throw the ball at Eric again. Well, that just got lost. Wonder how many people are lost just because there's nobody there doing their job. There's people right now in our worlds, people that need to be discipled, people that need to hear, and nobody, who cares? I got stuff to do, man. Kaylee's waking up. Do y'all see what's been going on? Now, here she is with too much. Here he is. He's got one. She's got one. He's been helping her, and now she's, look at there. She got strong enough to grab her own ball again. There's Tammy. She's willing. And there's Eric. Now, the whole point of this is I just want y'all to see in a visual way. I just wanted y'all to see that this is so much of what's actually going on in the body of Christ. Except if the truth would be known, Michelle would have all five balls. And the rest of them wouldn't even be aware they were in a game. They'd just be standing there. And really, probably a lot of the balls will just be bouncing around out here. She probably could handle two. You can't really handle a lot more than two. And the balls would just be bouncing around. Thanks, guys. You can put the balls down. Appreciate it. But the point of the matter is that if we all have a part, we all have a place. And if we're not doing our part and taking our place, the balls get dropped. We're not perfect at it. We're certainly not. I mean, it took a while to kind of figure out what was going on and get it going. Eric got a system going, but then Eric quit playing. He was really the best player, and he quit. Maybe he fell into sin, got distracted, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in. Whatever it is, we could all fall prey to it. None of us are immune to those things. And so he quits. But then there's so many people, they're just not even aware they're in the game. Because the reality is that all of us should have been up here. And all of us should have been throwing the balls. If we're all doing it, it wouldn't be hard to keep the five balls going. But he, now here's the other thing, is there's a whole lot more balls than any of us can handle. There's as many balls as you can throw. That's how much work there is to do in the kingdom. And I think we've made such a big deal about calling. And I haven't heard Nate's message from last week, and I hope I'm not about to contradict it, Nate. But we've made such a big deal out of calling, and I don't feel called and all that. You know what I've figured out is just show up and volunteer, and God will use you. Just say, here am I, Lord, send me. You don't have to wait for some big calling. I had no clue I was called until after I was 30 years old. And we make such a big deal. I meet people and they're like telling me they've never done one thing in ministry and they're telling me they're a prophet or they're some kind of big thing. We get so concerned about all of these things that I'm this and I'm that. Look, we're just all putting our hand to the plow. We can look back and figure out what we were if that's ever necessary. It's not the deal of what am I and I have to figure out what I am and all this before I can do anything. Just get busy. Just reach the next person. Just lend a helping hand like you saw Ryan do. Just help somebody. Reach out. Just encourage. Just start giving life. Just start doing what you can do, and you'll end up where you need to go. And, I mean, that's what I did, and that's how I ended up here. It wasn't because one day, you know, I woke up, and on the mirror in bright red lipstick, it was written, Susie, you are a pastor, and blah, blah, and all that. I'm not even sure I'm a pastor still. Been doing this 17 years. I'm not really sure what I am. I know what I am. I'm a catalyst. I excite other people to do things. It's mainly what I do. If that fits in the ministry, great. Otherwise, I just like to talk other people into doing things. That's how y'all got here. Talked you into this. But do what you can do, man. This is where I turn it over to you, Matt, as you talk with Rick.
And let me just show you how this can work, and I'm going to show you an extreme example of how this could work, of working together. And we've been doing collaboration on our executive team here at Good News Church for some time now. But I want to share this testimony, a story of something happened, and show you how powerful this can be. We were having an executive team meeting. It was Nate, Kristen, Susie, and myself, and we're just all discussing an upcoming event we're going to do called Trunk or Treat. Anybody know about that? And this was the first time we did it, so it would have been two Octobers ago. And so we were talking about Trunk or Treat, and Trunk or Treat is where you have a bunch of cars. Most people know what it is, a bunch of cars lined up. And each car is like a different theme, and you give out candy, and you know, and the kids will go from, it's like a house, they'll go from trunk to trunk. And then we decided we're going to do face painting and food and have a concert and do all, you know, different things for that. So it's going to be a huge event, a lot of, you know, outlay of resources, you know, a lot of things that we're doing for it. Well, during the whole time of discussion about it, Kristen had this idea to do a gospel hayride. And I don't know if we told you this, Kristen, but when I first heard that idea, I thought that was crazy.
This is a lot of work.
And she started to talk about it, and I was like, there's just no way we can do all this and then do a gospel hayride, and wanted to build these elaborate sets and do all this thing and take people around. I mean, I just thought it was kind of corny. I wasn't really seeing it. And, you know, the old me, I would have just said, no, not going to do it. And Susie and I both looked at each other and said, this is not going to work. But we've learned to listen. Learn to listen to other people on the team. Other people can have ideas. And so instead of just shooting her down, we said, well, let's just talk about it, think about it, and pray about it. And sure enough, we went away and prayed about it, and the Lord was like, yes.
You're not telling them.
Well, you tell them. Why don't you just sit down? No, that's the old Matt. Honey.
It didn't work for you back then either, did it?
Tell me how it really went.
We were in the meeting, and Kristen brings up this gospel hayride, and what it was is it was so much work, and it was going to be so much involved in it. That was, it wasn't that we didn't think it was necessarily a good idea. It was just going to be an overwhelming amount of work, and we had a short period of time to get it done in. And we, at that point, we had not even planned the trunk or treat out, and now we're going to add this whole gospel hayride. And we're just going, my goodness, it's going to be so much work and all that. So, and, you know, how are we going to do it? We've never done anything like this, and the expertise and all the skills and all the stuff, and how are we going to do it? And so it just seemed overwhelming. And so Kristen said this. This is the point I wanted to make. Kristen said,
I was going
to
say that, Susie. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding.
It happened in the meeting before we went and prayed.
Okay.
But Kristen said to us, which I just thought just showed, I mean, y'all know Kristen. Kristen's like the sweetest thing, right? Honestly. But Kristen said, if we don't do a gospel hayride, we're not doing the event. Which I thought just took big, big boldness. Whatever else. She said, if we don't do it, we're not doing the event. And we're like, we're not? Kristen's like, no. If we don't give these people the gospel, we're not giving them candy. And Matt and I are like, we're not? She's like, no, we're not doing it if we don't give them the gospel. That's what happened. I just wanted to say how Kristen said that.
Anytime you want to interrupt my message. No. Yeah, and we ended up doing it. How many people were saved? 180 or something like that. Some outrage. We had people lined up for that gospel hayride all night long. We couldn't get them all on there. The tire on the wagon broke for the last hayride. We had 70 people walking behind a car around the field. I don't know what people driving by thought we were doing. It was just, and we'd stop at each thing and we'd hear it and then we'd move on to the next. But when we were finished, we must have had 100 volunteers of all the people involved. But see, bringing the gospel brought so much life. We had over, we were expecting about 300-400 people. We had 1,000 people show up. Do you see how us collaborating and working together, and then when we did the event, we worked together? I was so busy with my car, I mean, doing my little thing, I had no time to know what anybody else was doing. It was just like, you know, it was organized chaos. It was just people everywhere. But we were so excited when we were done because we gave life. And God wants us to work together. And I see smatterings of this collaboration working. You know, Vanessa and Jose have stepped out and doing some things, working with some other people in the church and going out and feeding some people. We had some groups from Insight do some events totally on their own to go out into our city and reach people. And so I want you to go out and give life in your world as an individual. But if we can bring our callings together and partner up at various times, we're going to be so much more fruitful for the kingdom of God. So I am expecting here at Good News Church, we don't have it all figured out. And I don't know what this is exactly going to look like. We've been doing it in certain areas, but I want it in more areas. I want us to have respect for each other, appreciate each other. You know, in our marriage, the thing that makes our marriage so strong is we submit to each other. I don't lord over her. She doesn't lord over me. We submit to each other. There's respect. There's love. There's admiration. Tenderness. All those things. And we need to have that in this body. And if we'll come together, if we'll come together and share, what can happen at Good News Church? And already, people, and this is, I had Rick bring something up here. Rick, you can give me that. David Horton, years ago, prophesied by the, I believe by the Spirit of God, and he said this is years ago, said about Good News Church, we'd be a prototype. Prototype ministry. And you know what a prototype is, right? If you're going to do a car, you're going to build a prototype, and it's going to be the pattern to build the car. And he said, and we're not certainly the only church that's going to be that way, but we would be a prototype of what the Lord wants to do. And I think this collaboration, I think the believer's ministry, I think some of these things are the reason why we'll be a prototype for the body of Christ. But this is, Brother Hagin said this by the Spirit of God in October of 1997. This was an amazing meeting that he talked about in St. Louis, October 1997 in St. Louis. And there was ministers from really all over the world, 1,500 ministers there. The meeting was so big that the pastor had to get a new building and then build out just to hold for the meeting. He put a second mortgage on his house. You know, a lot of folks in the congregation did it so they could build this building to have this meeting. And then the congregation was in the tent outside the building. I mean, I've never been in a place where it was just full of ministers. And it was an amazing meeting, and a lot of things happened there. But Brother Hagin ministered to Susie and I. And this is what he said. He said, "You knew it, didn't you? Might as well stand up. Praise God forevermore. The blessing of the Lord, the goodness of God has been manifest unto thee and in thy midst. But as you might as well change the name." No, don't actually do it. But you might as well change the name of your place of worship to the Glory Barn. "For the glory of the Lord shall be made manifest in a greater measure than you've seen heretofore." And you know, at the time, and a lot of ministers were like, "Wow," that, you know, like comparing prophecies here. "Wow." They were impressed with our prophecy. And I was a little bit impressed. And so when he said Glory Barn, you put all kind of images of what that might mean. Are we going to have like fire in the building? Are we going to have smoke? Are we going to hear thunder? What does that mean, the Glory Barn? And so all kind of things over the year of what I thought that meant. But I've realized what it means. I was talking to a pastor in Fiji. He used to be a farmer. And he talked about harvest time and how during harvest time, I mean, they've worked hard all year. And harvest time is a lot of work. And they were all working. Everybody's working on the farm. Everybody's doing something. But he said there was such joy there. Such joy. It wasn't like they were even working. They were working hard. They were sweating. But everybody was doing their part. And they were bringing in the harvest. And it was so much fun. And so I think the Glory Barn means is it's going to be a time of harvest. And we're going to bring people in here, get them trained up, and send them out. And you know, it's harvest time, and everybody's got a part.
Amen.
And it's going to be fun, Terry. It's going to be joy again. But not just a few people doing all the work and everybody else sitting around watching. We've got to work together. We've got to have all hands on deck. And it's not about me and look at me and look at how great I am. It's about the kingdom. It's about God's plan. It's about the body of Christ. And so when we're out winning people out there, they may come to Good News Church, but it's not about them coming to Good News Church. It's about adding them to the body of Christ. And you're not my sheep. And if you leave here, be blessed. I'm not going to be mad. You're not mine. The other churches, I'm for anybody doing anything for God. We're not in competition with anybody. We want all the other ministries to flourish. We're all a part of the body. I'll close with this, guys. And just, did you just watch on the screen? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 19. Message translation says this. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For now, no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. That's what I had become. I'd become a monster. Years ago, you may think I'm a monster now, but I mean, you should have seen me 11 years ago. Called me Monster Matt. I didn't get into the ministry to be a monster. But see, this is the problem that we have in the body. It's all about just a few special anointed ones. And I'm all for them. But what about the rest of us? That's not the body. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand, get lost? That's what we said to the believers, get lost. You can only be in the ministry of helps. Get lost, I don't need you. Or head telling foot, you're fired, your job has been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Now, that might be questionable. Yes, I would. I'd rather have...
Yeah.
In the long term. Good News Church is not a perfect church. Good News Church has problems. You know that. But what would happen if we just tried to work together? What just happened if we begin to appreciate each other in their giftings? We appreciated each other for our quirkiness. And what would happen if we, like these five people, we could start, and you're going to drop it, and you're going to be mistakes, and it's going to be messy. But what would happen if we just started getting people together and started throwing the ball to each other, and it began to work? What could we do, not for Good News Church, but what could we do for the body of Christ? I prayed a prayer when I was over in Australia. You know, Jim Newton has been saying about the I Give Life course and what we were working together on. He's been saying that we're going to raise up 1 million life givers all over the world to reach 100 million people. And I was always saying, that's what Jim Newton said. But I've started saying now, that's what we're doing. Raising up 1 million life givers to reach 100 million people. See, I was just kind of, you know, I didn't have it in my heart, but there became a day where it's in my heart now, and I see it, and I see how it can happen. But I said something over there in Australia during one time of worship. You ever had this during worship, and you just get real with God? And I just said to the Lord, I said, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I will do it, I will be obedient. It's not about me, it's about your plan, it's about your will. even if it's to go to show the Jesus film in Bangladesh. It's not about me. It's about submission. Submission has become a bad word, but submission means under someone else's mission. And this is a time for every one of us to find our place. And let's help each other fulfill their callings. But also, then when we come together, let's do some awesome things. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Talking about the body of Christ today, and you may be here today and you don't know whether you're in the body of Christ. We want to add you to the body. We want you to be in God's family. Not talking about joining Good News Church or making any commitment to us here, but it's about being a part of God's family. And it's so easy to be a part of God's family. Believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Believe that. And then confess Him as Lord. As the Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that means you enter into God's family. That means if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven and spend eternity with God. But it also means you enter into His inheritance. He's got an inheritance for you in the earth. And there's nothing you can do to earn this gift, to earn this salvation. It's something that you receive. And so we're offering it to you today. And I encourage you to receive it. Today's the day. Don't walk out of here without Jesus as your Lord. Don't walk out of here without being in God's family. So if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die, and you want to know you're a part of God's family, signify by lifting your hand. I see one hand here. Who else? Hold your hand up. Just hold it up so we can see it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can look up here. Everybody stand, please. Now, we do this here at Good News Church, and I know we've gone long, but it's only a few minutes here. Do me a favor. There may be somebody sitting next to you, and for whatever reason, they're afraid to come forward. And that happens so many times after service. I just felt afraid. Ask your neighbor and say, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. And we're not judging anybody based on how you look. It's because we love you and we care for you. Now that brother that raised his hand, will you do me a favor? Will you come on down? I want to pray for you. Glory to God. Praise God. Anybody else? I want you to be a part of the body of Christ. What God has for you. So let's just do this together. We're all going to pray together. And we're going to pray a prayer. And we're going to enter into God's family. And heaven will be our home. And He's got an awesome, exciting plan for our lives. Y'all want to pray this? Yes. We'll pray together. So I'm going to kind of lead. And we'll just all of us pray together. Let's do this. Say, Father in heaven. I thank you for your word. I believe you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Jesus as my Lord. Thank you for forgiveness. Forgiving all my sins. The burden of sin is lifted. And I am now a part of your family. Heaven is my home. Help me walk in this abundant life. Show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. The Bible says that when a person comes to God, all of heaven has a party. So right now they're having a party. Woo! Praise God. Will you all do me a favor? We follow Mr. Neal here. He's got some more materials for you. Let's give them a hand. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all excited today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Susie, close it up, please.
Praise God. Well, thanks for staying with us today. We have E3. Is it 7 o'clock on Saturday night? So you're all invited to that. Wednesday night, we'll be back with Midweek Boost at 7 o'clock. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you watch over all of us. You protect us and keep us in all of our ways, that no evil befalls us, no plague comes near our dwelling. Father, we thank you today for your protection, your divine supernatural protection over us as we leave. And Father, because you're in us, because the same God who was in Jesus is in us, you work through us this week, and I'll ask you to open up opportunities for us to do our part, to do our share, bring people across our pathways, people that we can share the good news with, people that we can disciple and mentor, people, Father, that we can work together with and form joints and actually do the work of the ministry. Father, I pray for all of us that we would begin to see more and more and more of what you have for us as individuals and together as a body. We thank you for doing all of this. In the name of Jesus, amen. Goodbye.